This examination of Revelation 11 is not affiliated with any religion or doctrine. It's an independent search for the truth. In the previous video, we looked at Revelation 11 verses 1 through 4, which told us the multitude of all nations will walk the holy city in heaven for 42 months, and the two witnesses will act as prophets on the earth for 1260 days, which according to Revelation 12, Daniel, and Matthew appears to be 1260 years. So again, we're told the multitude of all nations will be in heaven for 42 months, which is 3.5 years, and they will return to the earth after the cataclysm. And the two witnesses will act as prophets on the earth for 1260 days, which can also represent 1260 years in the text. We previously left it verses 3 and 4, which say, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall act as prophets 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." After examining the codes, it seems the two witnesses represent the Jews and the Christians, who currently make up 2 billion of the world's 7 billion population. Next, verse 5 says, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Notice the first word in this verse, number 2532, also means "but." So it says, "But if any man will hurt them." And notice the phrase translated as "if any man" correlates to two different words, number 1536 and 846. Number 1536 means "if any," and 846 means "them." So it's saying, "but if any of them," then the word translated as "will," number 2309, also means "intends." So it says, "but if any of them intends to hurt them, fire proceedeth." But the word translated as "proceedeth," number 1607, also means "to come forth." So it says, "but if any of them intends to hurt them, fire will come forth." Then the word translated as "out of," number 1537, also means "on." So it says, "fire will come forth on their mouth." But the word translated as "mouth," number 4750, also means "face." So "fire will come forth on their face." And the word translated as "there," number 846, we know means "them." So it's saying, "fire will come forth on them face," or "the face of them." This makes more sense than the King James translation, because the phrase "on the face of them" is common throughout the Bible. For example, Psalm 21:12 says, "Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them." And Isaiah 13 says, "Their faces shall be flames." So the translation "fire will come forth on the face of them" seems to be more accurate. Then we know the word translated as "there," number 846, is "them." And the word translated as "enemies," number 2190, also means "hateful" or "hostile." So it says, "fire will come forth on the face of them and devour them that are hostile." Then it repeats the top phrase, "and if any man will hurt them," which we know translates to "and if any intend to hurt them." So verse 5 says, "but if any of them intends to hurt them, fire will come forth on the face of them and devour them that are hostile. And if any intend to hurt them, they must in this manner be killed." So we'll add that translation here. So the text tells us in verse 4 that the two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, which the text made clear is code for the two churches of anointed people throughout the whole earth who act as prophets in sackcloth but are fat hypocrites. But right after that in verse 5, it says, "but if any of them intend to hurt them, fire will come forth on the face of them and devour them that are hostile." So notice the usage of the word "them" occurs 5 times in verse 5. This is important because it seems to include both the two witnesses and anyone else. It says, "if any of them intend to hurt them." This means that anyone who is hostile and intends to hurt anyone will go through the fire. So if any of the two witnesses intend to hurt anyone, they will go through the fire. And if anyone intends to hurt the two witnesses, they will go through the fire. So the phrase "them that are hostile" can refer to those who are part of the two witnesses and anyone else. The fire is partially explained in Matthew 13. Jesus mentions two groups of people, the wheat and the tares. He says at the time of harvest, the tares will be bound together first in order to be burned, then the wheat will be gathered into the barn. The binding together of the tares, then, is for the purpose of burning. In Revelation 11, verse 5, we're told if the two witnesses or anyone else is hostile and or intends to hurt others, they will be burned. In other words, they are tares and will be bound together before the wheat are gathered into the barn. Then verse 6 says, these have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. This verse seems to be on one level a code referring to Elijah and Moses. The first part says they have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. This refers to the prophet Elijah. In 1 Kings 17, we're told Elijah commanded that the rain stop, and it did. Elijah was a Tishbite in the land of Gilead, which was a region east of the Jordan River near Jerusalem. Jesus made reference to Elijah in Luke 4. It says, starting in verse 17, that someone gave Jesus the book of Esaias. Esaias is another word for Isaiah. So this is saying someone gave Jesus the book of Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This is a reference to Isaiah 61. So after Jesus read this passage in Isaiah 61, it says in verse 20, he closed the book and sat down, and all eyes were upon him. And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled." Then he said, "No prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias." So he's about to tell the truth about Elias and Eliseus here. Elias is another name for Elijah, and Eliseus was Elijah's successor. So Jesus is going to tell us the truth about Elijah here. And remember, Elijah was a local prophet. He was born near Jerusalem, and he was well accepted. And notice the first thing Jesus says in verse 24 is, "No prophet is accepted in his own country." Then he says, "I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land." So the second point is Jesus says it didn't rain for 3.5 years during the days of Elijah. This is confirmed in James 5:17. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not in the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's James' comment on Elijah. But Jesus' comment was that there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. So there were many widows, but Elijah only visited one. Then he says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And after he said that, it says, "All they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." So why would this comment cause all those in the synagogue to be filled with wrath? Because Jesus was saying here that their prophet, Elijah, was not a true prophet. In addition, he seems to imply that Isaiah was not from Israel. We know Isaiah was a true prophet. And in Isaiah 1, it says Isaiah was the son of Amoz. Apparently, no one knows anything else for certain about Amoz. Later, rabbis claimed that Isaiah was part of the royal family of Judah, but Jesus is implying here that any true prophet that was born in Israel would not have been accepted by Israel during their day. Both Isaiah and Elijah were accepted by Israel during that time. Isaiah has a record of provable accurate prophecy, yet there's no proof he was actually from Israel, and Elijah was a local resident of Israel, but has no provable record of accurate prophecy. This means, according to Jesus' statement in Luke 4, that Isaiah may not have been a Jew, and Elijah was a false prophet. This confirms what we were already told in Revelation 11, that the two witnesses are fat hypocrites who act as prophets, but the implication is that they are false. We're told two witnesses persecuted Jesus, the Son of Man, in other words, the descendants of humans, which represents those of us living today. So we'll add that here. Verse 6 says the two witnesses will command that there will be no rain during their prophecy, and the earth will be smitten with plagues. The first part of this is a reference to Elijah, who Jesus said was a false prophet. So Revelation 11 verse 6 is a code referencing first the prophet Elijah, who Jesus said was a false prophet. That's the first point. And the second code is in the time period, the lack of rain for 3.5 years during the days of his prophecy. The second part of verse 6 is a code that references Moses and the plagues of Egypt. It says they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. In Exodus 7, it says Moses and Aaron smote the waters and all the waters were turned to blood. This was the first of 10 plagues on Egypt, and those 10 plagues are similar to the 7 vials of wrath in the book of Revelation. The 7 vials of wrath match the 10 plagues of Egypt on at least 4 specific points. So Revelation 11 verse 6 is referencing Elijah and Moses. Elijah, who allegedly shut heaven and caused it to stop raining for 3.5 years, and Moses, who turned the Egyptian rivers to blood and smote them with plagues. And one of the last plagues in the story of Moses was the 3 days of darkness, and we know days can also represent years in the text. So 3 years of darkness would almost match Elijah's 3.5 years of no rain. So we'll add that here. The second part of verse 6 is a reference to Moses, the 10 plagues of Egypt, and darkness for 3 days, which can also be 3 years. So in both of the stories about Moses and Elijah, we're told there are either 3 or 3.5 years of darkness and or no rain. This is referenced in Revelation 11 verse 6 in association with the two witnesses. There are also 2 other possible symbolic references in this verse. The rain can also refer to the rain of fire and brimstone from heaven that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. In Luke 17 verses 29 and 30, Jesus said it will rain fire and brimstone from heaven in the day the Son of Man is revealed. We know this refers to the falling stars that Matthew 24 tells us occur immediately after the tribulation of the days. So during the tribulation of the days, the 1260-year period, there is no rain of fire and brimstone. The rain of fire and brimstone, we are told, occurs immediately after the 1260 years. Revelation 11 confirms that. There is no rain of fire and brimstone during the 1260 years that the two witnesses walk the earth. So we'll add that here. Verse 6 is also a reference to the rain of fire and brimstone, which the texts say will not occur until the end of the 1260-day or year period. The next point is the waters will be turned to blood during that time. In Revelation 17, verse 15, we're told the waters represent people of all nations and languages. In other words, the waters turning to blood represent the people that were murdered during that 1260-year period. It has been estimated by some that over 50 million people were murdered during the reign of the Christian Roman Empire. Others have claimed that the start of that 1260 years began when the church leaders became a governmental power in and of themselves between 754 and 756 CE. If that's true, then 2014 through 2016 may mark the end of it. In Revelation 11, we're told the Christians and Jews will have power during this time, the waters or people will be turned to blood, and there will be no rain of fire and brimstone, not until the end of it. So we'll add that as well. The waters turning to blood in verse 6 may refer to the waters of people that were murdered during the Holy Roman Empire. In verse 6, the word translated as power, number 1849, also means influence. So it's saying, these will have influence. Then in the original language, the phrase shut heaven or heaven shut. In other words, heaven will be shut, that it will not rain in the days of their prophecy, and have power, in other words, they will have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So we'll add that translation here, and we'll add the waters turned to blood and plagues, with no rain of fire and brimstone during the 1260 days or years that the two witnesses act as prophets. We'll continue with part 3 of Revelation 11 next week. For more information, the whole series playlist, Bible's Countdown to the Asteroid, is linked here, and there are several other videos linked in the description below. Just click on Show More to open more links on this subject. Thank you so much to those of you making this research possible. If you like this video, please consider providing support. I hope you're doing well, and I'll talk to you next week.